All right, Joe, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Incredible daf ahead of us today. So today's daf is Kuf Nun 150. Oh, let me just get a Shulchan Aruch. All right, and we are going to start, Emir Tzashem, at the Mishnah. I want to begin by thanking the sponsors for today. Shir, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Av, Avram and Shane Dikelman, with the hope and tefillah that Emir Tzashem, this month of Av, will become a Yom Tiv, filled with joy in the eternal Beis HaMikdash. So, with that, let us begin. So, we're picking up at the Mishnah, Kuf Nun Amud Aleph, says the Mishnah, Lo Yiskar Adam Po'olim, thank you, Lo Yiskar Adam Po'olim B'Shav. So, what's a very interesting sugya we're coming to now? Lo yiskar adam po'olim b'Shabbos. A person should not hire workers for Shabbos. For Shabbos, I want to take a look at Rashi. What's wrong with hiring workers on Shabbos? So we'll say, I want to point out, this is talking about hiring workers on Shabbos. Lav dafka to do work on Shabbos, but even to go out and do work after Shabbos. Person just shouldn't hire workers on Shabbos. V'lo yomar adam l'chavero liskor lo po'alim. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, what's wrong with calling it a hiring workers on Shabbos? Especially if they're not going to work on Shabbos. Rashi says, d'chsiv nimtso chafatzecha. So we'll remember again, this is the pasuk from Yeshaya that we used to really highlight a lot of these things that are just not appropriate for Shabbos. So nimtso chafatzecha means, the Navi says, that on Shabbos you should avoid taking care of your own needs. So therefore, again, the act of hiring workers on Shabbos, so the mice, again, is demonstrative of taking care of your own needs, therefore should be avoided on Shabbos. You also shouldn't say to your friend, shouldn't have your friend hire workers for you on Shabbos as well. Similarly, again, both say you should not. Now, machshichin al tchum is going to be something very interesting. Remember, again, there's a concept of tchum Shabbos, Shabbos boundaries, which, again, this will be a topic that we'll deal with in Erevin, but lemaisa, again, this idea of tchum Shabbos means you have 2,000 amos from the edge of your city. So let's say I have to take care of something right after Shabbos. So what I want to be able to do is go ahead and go to the edge of the tchum before Shabbos is over, in an effort that I could be right at the tchum, ready to go out when Shabbos is over. So the Mishnah says, you shouldn't do that. Ein machshichen ala tchum. You should not travel to the end of the tchum on Shabbos, so that you're able to leave the tchum right after Shabbos, liskor lapoalim, in order to hire workers, ula havi peros, and to bring back fruit, to bring back produce, let's say, from your fields, which are outside of the tchum. Look at Rashi. Ein machshichen ala tchum. Lekari vatzmo b'Shabbos ad sof atchum. She really shouldn't travel to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos, so that you're ready to leave the tchum right at the end of Shabbos. She karov l'makom apolim o l'pardes l'havi peros. The choldaver she'asra la'asosa b'Shabbos asra la'hach shikalov. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So what's the problem with going to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos? What's the problem? So we'll say, so the answer is, on a technical level, nothing, except what you're really doing is you're preparing on Shabbos to do something after Shabbos. So therefore, what the Mishnah says is as follows, as we're going to see in just a moment, that halacha l'maisa, it is usur to go ahead and travel to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos, so that you're ready to do something after Shabbos, which could not be done on Shabbos itself. So if you're traveling to the edge of the tchum in order to hire workers right after Shabbos, you can't do that because you can't hire workers on Shabbos. Or you're traveling to the edge of the tchum because you have fields outside of the tchum, and right after Shabbos you want to harvest some produce. You can't do that because, again, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos itself. However, avamachshechu lishmar umevi peiros b'adar. But what you can do is, if you want to travel to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos, so that after Shabbos you could leave the tchum, just because you want to see what's happening in your field, right? So we'll say, remember again, the act of going to your field on Shabbos and looking to see lishmar, looking to see what's going on, is fine, right? You're not doing anything, or you want to guard it, that's fine. So therefore, remember, anything you can do on Shabbos, you can go to the edge of the tchum to be ready to do Matzah Shabbos. So therefore, you can go to the edge of the tchum in order to be ready to leave the tchum on Matzah Shabbos, to go and watch your field. Now, the truth is, once you're there watching your field, you would be permitted to go ahead and bring back fruit as well. So what this is saying is, you might have thought that if you went to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos, right, in order to go ahead and Matzi Shabbos, go out of the Tchum and watch your field. You can't bring back any, you can't cut down any produce and bring it back, because at the end of the day, then it would show ex post facto that you are really machshich ala Tchum in order to bring back produce. To which the Mishnah says that's not true. As long as your real intent was to do something that technically speaking would have been mutter on Shabbos, you could be machshich ala Tchum and even Matzi Shabbos, go ahead and bring back the produce. So the Gemara says, Klal Amar Abishol, so Abishol said, so I'll say Abishol phrases it like this. Anything that technically speaking I am allowed to instruct someone else to do on Shabbos, I can be machshich al hatchum. I can go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos to be ready to do Matzei Shabbos as well. So therefore the Mishnah teaches us really four very interesting halachas. Number one, you can't hire workers on Shabbos, even to do work after Shabbos. Number two, you can't instruct your friend to hire workers on Shabbos. See exactly what the novelty in that is. Number three, you can't be machshech al tchum. You can't travel to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos in order to do something on Matzei Shabbos if that something could not have been done on Shabbos itself. But if halacha lemaisa, the action you want to do after Shabbos was technically mutter for you to do or to instruct someone else to do on Shabbos, then you could be machshech ala tchum for that matter on Shabbos. So we'll say, so what's interesting about this is as follows, which is even though the act of be machshech ala tchum, right, in and of itself is what? Is really what? Is really a form of preparing for weekday. Because at the end of the day, right, why are you going to the edge of the tchum? Why are you walking there? Because you want to be ready to do something about Shabbos. As long as what you want to do is something that would have been permitted on Shabbos, you are permitted to go to the edge of the tchum. Because it was the act of walking to the edge of the tchum, meaning the act of walking in and of itself does not appear to be a preparatory act. People walk, right? People walk, people spazier. So as long as what it is that you want to do on Matzei Shabbos is mutter, you could already go in and walk to the edge of the tchum to be prepared to do it on Shabbos itself. Says the Gemara, so I'll say, let's analyze. Says the Gemara, Pshita, Maishna hua Maishna Chavera. So I'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why are you telling me? You told me that I can't hire workers on Shabbos. Okay. So then you tell me that what? I can't instruct my friend to hire workers on Shabbos. So like, what's the chiddush? Obviously, if I can't do it, I can't instruct my friend to hire workers either. Amra Papa, Chaver Nochri. So Papa says, who are we talking about? A Gentile friend. A Gentile friend. And Mishnah telling me now, I can't hire workers on Shabbos, and I can't go ahead and, so to be clear, we're talking about workers not to do work on Shabbos, right? Just to hire workers on Shabbos. Again, that's why this is an Isra D'Rabbanon, Mimtso Chafatzecha, stay away from pursuing your own needs on Shabbos. So therefore, the Gemara says, the novelty is, not only can I not hire workers, but I also can't instruct my Gentile friend, who's obviously not mitzvah on Shabbos, to hire workers as well. So the Gemara says, Maskif Ravashi, Amir Lanachri Shvus. Rabbi said, we already learned about Amir Lanachri, right? We already learned that instructing a Gentile is a Shvus. Rabbi said, Shvus means it's an Issa D'Rabbanon that was instituted in order to preserve an atmosphere of rest on Shabbos. So I don't need this Mishnah to teach me that Amira Lanachri is Asr, because after all, I already learned that concept. So why do you have to restate it here? El Amar Ravashi, Afilo Tema Chaveru Yisrael. Let's listen to this. Rather, Ravashi says, no, in fact, the Mishnah is talking about a Jewish friend. I can't instruct my Jewish friend to hire workers for me. So we'll say, so what's the chiddush? Hakamash malon lo yomar adam lechaveru schar li poalim. So we'll say, the novelty is like this. I can't tell Reuven, do me a favor, hire me some workers to do work, not on Shabbos, after Shabbos. I can't do that. But what can I do? Aval Omer Adam Lechavera, Hanira Shetamot Imila Erev. So this is fascinating. I can say, Reuven, you know, maybe we'll get together Matzei Shabbos. Maybe we'll get together Matzei Shabbos. I will say, now what is this? I'm not inviting Reuven to the movies, right? What does Hanira refer to? Look at Rashi. Hanira, Achshav Nira, Imsamot Imila Erev. Im tavo eilai lechishetech shach, ushneim yodin sha'am minas lesochro lepeulaso humas hero. Supposed to listen to this. I can say to Reuven, maybe we'll get together Matzei Shabbos. Even though, again, Reuven understands that what is it that I'm asking of him? I need him to do some work for me. I need to do some work for me. So I can say, Reuven, maybe we'll get together Matzei Shabbos. I know I need him to do some work. Reuven knows I need him to do some work. But because what? Rashi says, but since I'm not explicitly saying, Reuven, can you come do work for me? Therefore, it's going to be permitted. As we're going to see in just a little bit, when it comes to these issues on Shabbos, we don't care about your intent. What we care is about what you say. So, as long as you are not explicitly asking someone to come and do malacha for you, then ultimately you can make what appears to be at least verbally innocuous plans. So therefore, again, I've also said the novelty is like this. I cannot ask Reuven to hire workers for me on Shabbos, right? That would be usur. I can't hire workers on Shabbos. I can't ask Reuven to hire workers for me on Shabbos. But what can I do? I can say, Reuven, let's get together tonight. Maybe you'll come by around 8. Even though, again, I know I'm hiring him for work. He knows that I'm hiring him for work. But as long as halacha lemaisa, I do not make an explicit statement, it's okay. They will say, I want to point out something. When we say okay, okay means not us. So obviously, everyone would agree, better to avoid these things as well. But sometimes... there's a tzorah, sometimes there's a need. I'm not going to see Reuven until later, and perhaps it's something that I really need. So Lamai says, as long as the statement itself is objectively innocuous and it doesn't have any real malacha message, it's permitted to go out and say it. It's really quite amazing. So the Gemara says, umas nisin money, and Abba say, whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. So Abba say, the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. The Sanya. Lo yomar adam lechavero hanira shetamot imila erev. So we'll see, because the Raisa says a person should not say to his friend, maybe we'll get together at night. In other words, we'll say where the intention is, even though I'm not saying, come do malacha for me. It's clear that I want him to do malacha. I know that I want him to do malacha. Reuven knows I want him to do malacha. So the first opinion in the Raisa says, you can't do this. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha omer lechavero hanira shetamot imila erev. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says, no, it's not true. If you see your friend, you could say to him, maybe he'll come by tonight, even though, again, I know I'm asking for malacha. He knows I'm asking for malacha. But because I'm not explicitly mentioning anything regarding malacha, therefore the act, or therefore the invitation, is halachically permitted. Amar Rav Bar Rachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, k'Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Rav Bar Rachana, same Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha falls Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, that as long as you do not explicitly mention malacha, you can go ahead and ask Reuven to come by on Matzei Shabbos. V'amur Rabbi Rachana Rabbi Yochanan, my time to Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. What is Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha's logic? I'm also meaning, at the end of the day, I don't understand. If I know that I'm asking Reuven to do malacha, and Reuven knows that I'm asking him to do malacha on Matzei Shabbos, so why is it mutter? Supposed to listen to this. This is incredible. Dichziv. Mimso chafatzecha v'daber dover. Because the pasuk in Yeshaya says, on Shabbos you should refrain, mimso chafatzecha, from pursuing your own needs, v'daber dover, and speaking your own words. Dibor aser, hir hor mutter. The pasuk says, it is only dibor, it is only actual malacha-laden speech, which is aser, but intent doesn't make a difference. Intent doesn't make a difference. So the fact that I know that I want malacha from Reuven Matzei Shabbos, Reuven knows that I want malacha from Reuven Matzei Shabbos, doesn't make a difference. As long as what? As long as my dibur is malacha free, as long as my speech is malacha free, then I am in the clear. I'm in the clear. So says the Gemara, Rami Lerav Acha Barafuna Lerava, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Dibur Aser Hira Mutter. Is that true? They both say, so now, here, just understand what we have over here. So just follow the progression. So therefore, the Mishnah is teaching me, I may not go ahead and hire workers to do malacha for me on Shabbos. I can't hire workers on Shabbos to do malacha for me. You will say, even if the malacha is going to happen on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it doesn't make a difference. Right? Mishnah said, I can't ask my friend to hire workers for me either. The Gemara says, isn't that obvious? It is, but it's coming to teach us something else. That what I can do is say to my friend, come meet me Matzei Shabbos. Come meet me Matzei Shabbos. And even though he knows I want malacha, I know I want malacha, it's mutter. Why? Opinion of opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha, because ultimately, again, daber davar, only malacha laden speech, an explicit request for malacha's asar, but hirhur, right? What my intention is irrelevant when it comes to this matter. Now the Gemara says as follows: Rami Ravacha Barafuna L'Rava. So Ravacha Barafuna brought up to Rava, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Dibor Asar Hirhur. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that Dibor is asar and hirhur is mutter? Alma hirhur lav kedibor. So therefore, Rabbi say it must be that according to Rabbi Yochanan, so hirhur lav kedibor. It kir lav kedibor, that ultimately, again, thought is not like speech. So is that literally what we're saying over here? That thought is not like speech. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Miam Arar Yochan Dibri here says, Alma, hir lav kedibor dami. Vaha amar rabba bar bachana am Rabbi Yochanan. Beit Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yochanan being quoted in the following context. Bechom makom, mutter laharher chutz mi beis hamerchatz. We'll say, in general, you are permitted to think about Torah in any location other than the bathhouse, umi beis hakisei, and the bathroom. So we'll say, now, what do you see from here? That hirhur, that thought, is significant. Because again, we'll say, if hirhur lav kedibor dami, then lamaisa, why can't I think about Torah in the bathroom or the bathhouse? You tell me that thought, intention, kavana, is irrelevant. It's just, so I understand, I can't talk words of Torah, I can't talk words of tefillah in the bathroom, in the bathhouse, but why should thought be problematic? And yet you see here that it is. Tuish Gemara says, no, Torah is different. Shiny hasam deba'inon v'hayom machanecha kadosh v'leka. So we'll say here it's different, because by Torah, we operate with the principle of your camp should be holy. We'll get Rashi just a moment. Rashi is almost right across. V'hayom machanecha kadosh. This is beautiful. So means that your camp, your life, should be constantly suffused with kedusha. So Rashi says something so beautiful. He says, so because klal yisrael mishum di yisrael meharin tamid b'divrei Torah. So you hear that line? That whole shas is worth that line. Hey, that klal a Jew is constantly maharher b'Torah. A Jew is always thinking about Torah. But say sometimes it's conscious thought, sometimes it's subconscious thought, right? But a Jew is always thinking about Torah. So the mandate of V'hayom Machanecha Kadosh means that because I'm constantly preoccupied with Torah, even the cognition of Torah must take place in an atmosphere of Kiddusha. So as we'll say, or another way stated, that Torah is the exception, not the rule. In other words, in general, we will adopt the principle of hirhor lav kedibor dami. Thought or intention is not like speech. And I will say, you know that concept, because the truth is, that's not just the concept over here, but in this particular case, in general, we accept that halachic principle, that cognition, thought, is not really halachically relevant. What matters is what you say, or again, in most cases, what you do. It could just very well be that when it comes to thought regarding Torah, that's different, because Torah requires, in general, v'hayom machanecha kadosh, a total atmosphere of kedusha, of holiness. Hachanami, but one second, it also says, in that same pasuk, v'lo yiroe b'cha ervas davar, yet Rabbi say it says again, and it shall not be seen amongst you, ervas davar. So Rabbi say the Gemara is darshining over here, davar is dibor. That maybe once again, Torah should only be prohibited when? To speak Torah in a place where there's erva, to speak Torah in an unclean place. In other words, that's the, it will say it's all the same passage. Yes, it says, v'hayom machanecha kadosh, but it also says, v'lo yira b'cha ervas davar. Davar dibur. Maybe Torah should only be prohibited when you speak it out, but thinking of Torah should be permitted even in the bathhouse or even in the bathroom. To which the Gemara says, no, I need that phrase for something else. Hahumi boile l'chid Rav Yehuda. So what's, I actually need that phrase for Rav Yehuda. What does Rav Yehuda say? Don Rav Yehuda, akum arum, asr likros kriyashma kinegdo. But what's, if there is a naked Gentile, you are not permitted to go ahead and recite kriyashma in the presence of his nakedness. If he's unclothed, you can't say Shema in his presence. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ma'ir ya'akum, I feel the Yisrael now. I mean, of course, I mean, what does it matter, Jew, non-Jew? But we'll say, remember again, nakedness is nakedness. Erava is Erava. You can't go ahead and say Shema in the presence of Erava. To which the Gemara says, Lomi bai kamar. Lomi bai Yisrael, the Aser. So we'll say, obviously it goes without saying that to say Kriya Shema in the presence of the Erava of a Jew is going to be Aser. Aval akum, kevon dichsiv bei, asher basar chamorim bisaram. But I was listening to this. When it comes to an akum, where you have the pasuk in Yechezkel that compares the akum to the donkey, the flesh of the akum to the flesh of the donkey, ema shapir dami. I would have said, therefore, halacha lamaisa, maybe, it was actually an interesting idea, maybe the erva of an akum doesn't have the status of an erva. Maybe again, it's no different than saying Shema or Davar Shevekdusha in quote unquote in the presence of the nakedness of an animal, which of course is not problematic. It's not problematic. So maybe again, the Akum has the same status. Kamash Malon though, Kamash Malon say that ultimately again, V'lo Yirah Becha Ervas Davar teaches me that I can't even say Kriya Shema in the presence of the Erva of an Akum. So the Gemara says, Ema Hachinami. I don't say, but why not? Why don't you say that? Why not say that the Erva of an Akum is like the Erva of a Behema? And therefore, again, there's no problem with saying Kriya Shema in his presence. To which the Gemara says very simply, Hachi Yomar Kra, the Ervas Avihem Lo Ro. Both say this is fascinating. Where is that pasuk from? Parshas Noach. Right? At the end of Parshas Noach, after they come out of the Teva, Noach becomes drunk and is uncovered in his tent. So the pasuk speaks about the fact that his sons did not gaze upon his erva. So what do you see? You see now, we'll say Noach was a Noachide, right? Noach was not an Akum, but a non-Jew. So therefore, halacha l'maaseh, what do you see from him? Yet the Torah refers to his nakedness as an erva. So from here you see that the erva of an Akum has the status of an erva. So we'll say, so therefore again, just so we keep focused over here. So halacha l'maaseh, what the Gemara is suggesting is that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, right? Ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, also supported by Rabbi Yochanan, that halacha l'maaseh, what? Only Dibor is Aser, Hirhur is Mutter. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, I can go ahead and say to Ruvain, I'll see you tonight around 8. And Ruvain says, sure. Even though what? I know I need malacha from him. He knows I need malacha from him, but because there was no explicit mention of malacha, therefore halacha l'maisa, this will be permitted. What is that based on? Based on the daber davar, only dibur is aser, but hirhur is going to be mutter. Now, Bosei, Shulchan Aruch brings this down in Simen Shin Zayin Sif Vav. So listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Shulchan Aruch says like this: Aser lachshov cheshbonos afilum avro kigon kach v'kach osisi mutter lomer lachaveiro. Person could say to his friend, "This is sorry." Shin Zayin Sif Zayin mutter lomer lachaveiro hanira beinecha shetucha lamorimi la'erev. I could say to Ruvain, "Do you think you could meet me tonight?" Even though Reuven knows that really what I'm saying is I need to hire him for work that night. But I can't say to him, be prepared to meet me tonight. So as I see here, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't see. I can say to Reuven, you know, hatucha lamorimi, can you meet me tonight? But I can't say to him, be prepared to meet me tonight. Because Rosh Hashanah, be prepared to meet me tonight means what? Sounds much more of like a tzivui, much more of like a formal hire. Be prepared, I'm hiring you tonight. Versus, can you meet up with me tonight? So we'll say, I want to point out again that halacha lemaisa, that obviously it's good to avoid all of this. Right? It's good to avoid, the Shulchan Aruch is just talking about what's mutter versus what's aser. Good. So, and Mishnah Berurah points out, he says, "Kevan shenu mefarish behedja rak derech remez l'tzarach matzei Shabbos. Havadi rak bechlal hirhur the mevor besimin shin vav." So, fine. V'lo yomar hayei nechon. Good. So, we'll say that's that's the halacha l'maisa. I think many times people would assume that even such a statement like that would be aser because they would think it's preparation, it's hachana. But yeah, you see the Shulchan Aruch paskins that halacha l'maisa it's mutter. Interesting. Good, let's go back there. So the Gemara says, V'dibor mi aser. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Now, what we've established is that hirhur is mutter, dibur is aser. So let's say to go ahead and speak about weekday things, or in this case, particular case, to go and say to Reuven, Reuven, I need to hire you to do some work on Matzei Shabbos, that's going to be prohibited. So the Gemara says, is that really prohibited? Vaha Rav Chista. We'll say, watch this. This is incredible. Cheshbonos shal mitzvah, mutar l'chashon b'shabbos. So both say, you are permitted to go ahead and make calculations regarding mitzvahs on Shabbos. So we'll say, now what does that mean? So let's say, again, I need money for a particular mitzvah. So I can go ahead and make financial calculations on Shabbos. If halacha l'maisa, again, it's for a mitzvah purpose. V'amar b'lazar, poskim tztaka l'aniyim b'Shabbos. We could do appeals. You could raise money for tztaka on Shabbos. So we'll say, again, pledging money on Shabbos would seem to say that's asr. But you begin to see, again, you could do it for tztaka. And we'll say, this is straight out, right? This is explicit. I pledge $1,000 for tztaka. V'amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, amar Rabbi Yochanan, mefakhin pikuach nefesh, pikuach rabim b'Shabbos. You are permitted to go out and deal with matters of pikuach nefesh, as well as matters that affect the public on Shabbos. V'holchin lebatei knesios lefakech al iskei rabim. And you can go to shuls to discuss matters that affect the public on Shabbos. V'amar Rabbi Shlomo Nachmani, amar Rabbi Yochanan, holchin letratios, lekarkosos, ulebasilkios, lefakech al iskei rabim. Not only that, but you can go to other public places. These are theaters, amphitheaters, basilas, lifakir al iske rabbin b'Shabbos. All in order to take care of matters that concern the public on Shabbos. They both say, now what is all of this talking about? This is talking about mamish engaging in matters of public policy on Shabbos. So these are not Shabbistic things, right? These are not Sarchi Shabbos. These are regular weekday needs. And yet we see that you are explicitly permitted to engage in a Shabbos. Well, saying not only that, but look what else you could do. The Tanah Be Menashe, Mishatchin Alatinokes, Li'areis B'Shabbos. Well, so you can make Shidduchim. They'll say to yourself, of course, what's wrong with making a Shidduch? But remember again, in the olden days, so matters of Shidduchim also came with financial arrangements. Right? So you can make Shidduchim, you can make the financial arrangements on Shabbos as well. This is incredible. Valatinok Lalamdo Sefer. You could arrange your kids' tuition. Right? You could hire a Rebbe or hire a Mora, hire a teacher to teach your child on Shabbos, even though you are stipulating matters of salary. Furthermore, Ulalamdo Umna. Suppose that this is incredible. You could secure an apprenticeship for your child on Shabbos. So if you want your child to learn a trade, you want your child to learn a parnasa, you can make those arrangements on Shabbos. Why is this? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Mimtso chafatzecha v'daber davar. Because they both say, the Pasuk says that on Shabbos, you are not permitted to pursue your own needs. Mimtso chafatzecha v'daber davar. And speak your own words. Chafatzecha asurim cheftze shamayim mutar. And we'll say, very important Gemara. Your needs are asur, but the needs of the Ribbono Shel Olam will be mutar. So we'll say, what is the definition? You know, everyone thinks they're doing the Lord's work, right? So what is the definition of your needs versus HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs? So you see from over here, obviously, tzedakah, anything to do with the mitzvah, anything to do with matters of public policy. So things that impact the community as a whole are considered to be mitzvah matters. Now, of course, shidduchim, I understand, getting a rabbi to understand that also what is interesting about this is arranging an apprenticeship, right? Arranging for your child to learn a trade. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is lalamdo omnus dohanami mitzvahi. They will say it is a very important mitzvah to make sure that your child has the ability to learn, to earn a livelihood. Why? The Gemara Rashi says, "Dechol she'ena malamdo umnos, malamdo listos." Because they will say at the end of the day, if you don't teach your child a parnasa, you are teaching him thievery. You're teaching him thievery. And I will say this is on a number of levels. I will say, you know, what does it mean? If you don't teach your child the parnasa, we'll say what it means is that a parent has to go ahead and teach their child ultimately how to be self-sufficient in this world. It's one of the most important. And self-sufficiency means, we'll say, also like not to rely on handouts or not to rely on programs or not to rely, meaning to be the kind of person who's able to stand on your own two feet. To be the kind of person who's able to earn a parnasa. And sometimes, again, we all know this, sometimes earning a parnasa also means that you have to do things that I'd rather be doing something else. I mean, not me personally, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. But sometimes you'd rather be doing something else. But lamaisa, in order to earn a parnasa and to be self-sufficient, so you have to give up certain things. So the Gemara says, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah to teach your child, ultimately, again, how to stand on their own. Lalamda umdas, Rashi says, to hanami mitzvah. But here's the incredible part. Because, again, this is according to the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. Because if you don't teach your child how to be self-sufficient, by definition, they're just going to have to resort to all, because everybody's got to live. Everybody's got to live. So if you don't have an honest way, or no, when I say honest, I mean like a productive way, like a meaningful way to go out and make a parnasa, a person's going to find all kinds of things. So whether it's legal or whether it's illegal or whether it's a little bit gray, they're going to find all of these things. And why? Why? That's not the proper chinuch that I should give my child. So apparently the Gemara says, the halacha l'maisa, you're allowed to arrange for that on Shabbos. Is that incredible? So therefore, I will say, this is another very important idea. So therefore, even things that are financially related, if halacha l'maisa, either A, they're part of a mitzvah, like tzedakah, or B, they're tzarchei rabim, they're necessary, then halacha l'maisa, you could deal with it on Shabbos as well. Shabbos, which is why, again, okay, so this is why, how is it, shuls are able to do, or anywhere, appeals, how can you do appeal on Shabbos? You're asking mamish for money. Again, that's tzedakah, tzarchei rabim, and therefore it's permitted. Incredible. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshul, cheshbonos shel malach. Well, this is another very interesting idea. So look at Rashi. Rashi says they change from melech to malach. Malach means like, what is it to you? Or mabekach, what is there with this? Rashi says, shel eizo she'eno shalo, vein tzarech bekach, kigon harotza livnos bayis kach vekach, tzarech lo tziobo. So also listen to this. So this lashon of malach means hypothetical conversations that don't really have a ramification on you. So let's say again, I'm walking home with Gil Horowitz on Shabbos. Let's say he davened here in Mirz Hashem. So again, and I ask him to tell me what is it cost to build a house these days. So I'm not building a house. I'm not in the market for building a house. I'm more just curious. So let's say that's a discussion of malach. Like, what is it to you? See, even though, again, you would say, but such a discussion like that is not really Shabbistic, right? Such a discussion like that is not, it's about money, but Lameisa, it has nothing to do with me. In other words, it's a theoretical conversation. So the Gemara says, again, I want to point out, there's a difference between what you should be doing versus what the Gemara is talking about. What's usher versus mutter? So meaning, should I be talking about the price to build the house on Shabbos? Bepashtos not. But again, as long as I'm not in the market or I'm not asking something that's really no gea to me from a financial perspective, the Gemara says, it's fine. So that's cheshbonos shamalas. The Gemara says, I'm not going that supports this. Cheshbonos sha'avru v'sha'asidin lios asher l'chashvan. So we'll say, listen to this. So financial calculations of things that actually happened to me that I engaged in or things that I'm going to engage in that you can't talk about on Shabbos. However, shel melech, he calls it melech, but it's malach. But cheshbonos of malach, like what is this to you on the days? V'shal ma bekach. Rashi says, "Mabekach is kigon sha'avar hayu l'tzorech, ela sha'avru kigon kach vekach kotzisi bebinyan zeh." So here Rashi understands that Mabekach ultimately means, a little bit of a contradiction, means things that already happened. So again, if I already built a house and I already spent the money, I could speak about that which was spent. So the Gemara is narrowing the scope a little bit. So we will say, really, what can't you speak about on Shabbos when it comes to finances? So apparently you can't speak about things that are currently shayach. Right, presently shaykh. But if something is not shaykh at all, just hypothetical, I'm just curious, much more curious than anything else, that's fine. Or according to Rashi over here now, ma'abekach, something that happened already, mutter. So the Gemara says, Raminhu, choshvin shech hashbono she'in tzvichin, vein mechashin hashbono she'tzvichin b'shabbis. So the Brisa says like this, you could go ahead and think about hashbonos that are not necessary, but you can think about hashbonos that are not necessary. Well, say cheshbonos means financial calculations, but you can't think about cheshbonos that are necessary. What does that mean? Ketzad, Omer, Adam lechaveiro kach vekach polim otzeis yasadazu. So a person can say like this, I spent, you know, I had to hire X number of workers for this field. Kach v'kach dinar hotzeisi al birazu. And I went ahead and I spent this amount of money on my apartment. Avalo yomarlo. So we'll say, apparently, what the Gemara says is like this. The Braisa says is, you can speak about things that happened in the past. I had spent this much money on this field. Or, I spent this much money on workers for my home. But what can't you say? Avalo yomarlo kach v'kach hotzeisi, v'kach v'kach ani asid lahotzi. What you can't talk about, the Bosai, is what you're going to do. So apparently the Braisa indicates over here, you can speak about what you've done, but you can't speak about what you're going to do. L'tameich, 1 second. Kasha l'cha hi gufa. So we'll say, but 1 second. That contradicts what we just said before. Rashi says, tikshi l'cha ha gufa. Braisa kamaisa reisha katani sha'avru asurin. V'seifa katani shama bekach mutar. Dhanu avru. So 1 second. What we just said before, that what? We just said before that aloha l'maisa, you can't speak about things that happened or things that will happen. The only thing you can speak about are what? Things in the abstract that don't really impact me. Here we're saying, I can't speak about past expenditures, but I can't speak about future expenditures. What's going on? Ela hadi'ika agro de'igra gabe, hadileka igra de'agira gabe. Boss, listen to this. Everything depends as if you've paid your workers already. If you've paid your workers, so the job is done, it's a thing of the past, then you can discuss it. But Lamaise, if you haven't yet paid your workers yet, the job is open. If the job is open, then what? Then what? You can't discuss it. So it's really fascinating. So Bosai, it turns out from the conclusion of this sugya is that Allah Lamaisa, you could talk about financial things in the abstract. So Bosai, I want to point out again, it's talking about what is mutter, not what is encouraged. Right? Obviously, the goal would be not to speak about these kind of things on Shabbos in general. But in an abstract, you could talk about these things. You could talk about the price of real estate if you're not in the market for a house. And you could speak about certain even business-related, money, financial-related things if it's not shaykh to you. And you could even speak about past expenditures. I spent this amount of money on my home, assuming that what? The bills are paid. They'll say, so again, so let's say the contemporary application of this, if you're doing work on your house and you have open invoices, so apparently again the Gemara would seemingly say you can't talk about it. that's called something that's happening now. So if the bills aren't paid, you can't talk about it. But if the bills are paid, then halacha l'maaseh, that's part of the past, and you'd be able to go ahead and discuss it. Good. Tana Rabbana, we'll say an incredible story. Incredible story. Ma'aseh b'chassid echad. There was once a story of a chassid who had his fence was breached. So he had a fence around his field, and the fence was breached. V'nimlach ale legodra, and when he saw the breach, he had in mind to repair it. I will say, but v'niska sheshabesu. But then he remembered that it was Shabbos. V'nimna osa chassid v'logodra, and the chassid decided not to repair the breach. So Rabbi Yossi, you say to yourself, okay, like, shkayach, that's why he's a chassid. So he was going to do malacha. He remembered that at Shabbos, he didn't do malacha, so therefore that's it. He's such a tzaddik. So Rabbi Yossi, no. So the Ben Yoyada and the Marsha. So the Marsha actually comments on this, and he says, benimlach mashma b'machshava va'afag av dirmotis. Well, here's what happens, says the Marsha. The Marsha says, the chassid decided to never repair the breach. The chassid said like this, since he thought about repairing the breach on Shabbos, he decided never to repair the breach. Now this obviously is not the halacha. That's why he's quoting a story by a chassid, meaning he was bothered by the fact that he thought about repairing it on Shabbos. Then he caught himself, right? He said Shabbos, can't think about this. So again, he caught him, and by the way, as we saw before, there's not really even a problem of thinking about these kind of things on Shabbos, just speaking about them. But because he thought about repairing the breach on Shabbos, he made a Kabbalah that he's not going to repair the breach ever. 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 Again, we'll say, that's not halacha, I'm going to be clear. But he's a chassid. So what happened? V'nasalonis, a miracle occurred. V'alsalot slaf. So we'll say, and a caper bush. We'll say, remember, it's been a while since the slaf. Remember again, brachas. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on the tzlaf. Umimena haisa parnoso, uparnosas anshe beso. And we'll say the miracle occurred. A tzlaf, remember again, the godless of the tzlaf is that tzlaf produces three types of edible pieces, right? The berries are edible, the husks are edible, the buds are edible. So a miracle happened, a tzlaf bush. So we'll say it's a double miracle. Number one, the tzlaf sprouted right in the area of the breach. So the tzlaf itself plugged up the breach. and apparently it provided him with an income stream as well, for him, for his family, for his offspring. Incredible story. Now, what's the point of this story? So remember again, this story is the countermeasure to everything we've seen before, which is, while it is true that we've seen, you could really do a lot on Shabbos, right? Meaning, so I've already established that what? I can go ahead and tell my friend, I can tell Ruvain, let's meet up 9 o'clock on Matzei Shabbos, even though he knows I want him to work. I know I want him to work. I could speak about financial stuff in an abstract as long as it doesn't impact me. And apparently, as long as my invoices and workers are paid, I could even speak about work that's happening for me in my life. While all of that is true, the Gemara then tells the story about a chassid. And the chassid himself was so distressed that he thought about something malachadik on Shabbos. It's not the pshat that was like, they accidentally did something. He thought about something that he should not think about on Shabbos. He was so distressed by that vachadika thought, right? By that vachadika machshava, by that weekday machshava, they decided, I'm not repairing the breach. So I just want to point out, Chazal purposely positioned this story over here to kind of give you the countermeasure. Like, that's the ideal. That's the idea. You don't have to go to that extent, but that's the purity of thought that we aim for on Shabbos. There's a lot of stuff that may be mutter, but it's not ideal to create the ultimate Shabbos. I don't know if you don't want to shmuel. So let's listen to this. I can say to my friend on Shabbos, you know, tomorrow I'm traveling to so-and-so city. But why can't I speak about that on Shabbos? Is that not speaking about what I'm going to do on the weekday? Watch this. Shem yesh burganin holech. Because I will say it's possible to get from one city to the other if there are huts. So without getting into all technicals, because we're going to see this, merits from an Erevin. But remember again, tchum ends. But as long as there is a hut within 70 amos of the end of the city, that extends the tchum. So essentially, because technically speaking, I could get from one city to the next, because of the presence of these huts, which effectively connect the various tchumen, therefore I could speak about it on Shabbos. In other words, we'll say anything that you could technically do on Shabbos, you could speak about on Shabbos as well. Similarly, Tanan e machshichan ala tchum liskar polen o lahavi peris. Also, we learned that you cannot go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos, in order that on Matzei Shabbos you can go and hire workers and to bring back fruit. So I understand why I can't go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos to go and hire workers on Matzei Shabbos. Because hiring workers is something you can't do on Shabbos. But I don't understand that I should be able to go to the edge of the tchum ultimately again on Shabbos in order to bring back fruit on Matzei Shabbos. Why? Because we will say if there were walls, if there are mechitzas, then technically speaking, I could carry back fruit on Shabbos itself. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Mishkachas l'baperes ha-mechubarim. But I will say, not with fruit that are attached to the ground. If the fruit I want to get on Matzah Shabbos are fruit that are attached to the ground, that fruit is off limits to me on Shabbos. And therefore, Allah l'maisa, I can't be machshech ala tchum. I can't go to the edge of the tchum in order to get it. So I will say, this is part of the klal. Anything you can't do on Shabbos itself, you cannot wait at the edge. You can't go to the edge of Tchum on Shabbos so that you're ready to do it Matzei Shabbos. Aye, v'hatani raboshia, ein machshichin ala Tchum lahavi teven v'kash. You can't go to the edge of the Tchum to bring teven and kash. So I will say teven is straw, kash is straw. The difference is, kash is unprocessed, teven is processed. So Bishlama Kash Mishkakas Lam Mukhubar. So I understand why I can't go to the Jitchum to get Kash, because Kash is attached to the ground. And Halach Lamaisa again, I can't go to the edge of the Tchum to get anything that I couldn't get on Shabbos. Ela Teven Eichim Mishkakas Lam. But I will say Teven is already processed, it's already detached. So technically speaking, if there was an Erev, I can bring that back on Shabbos. If I can bring it back on Shabbos, why can't I go to the edge of the Tchum to get it on Shabbos? To which the immersive Mishkakas Lam with Tivna Saria. With Tivna Saria, I will say, means like putrid straw. So I'll say, so straw that's already disgusting, so that would be muktzah. So therefore, you're not being permitted to get that on Shabbos. You can't go, therefore, to the edge of the tchum to retrieve that on Shabbos as well. Tashma, machshichin ala tchum, lefakeach al iskech kalov al iskech hames. You can go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos in order to be ready on Matzei Shabbos to take care of the needs of a kala or to take care of the needs of the dead. So the Gemara says, al iske kalo umes in, al iske acher lo. You can go to the edge of the tchum to take care of the needs of a kalo, but not or of a mace, but not for someone else. Bishlam. So we'll say, what does that mean? And what that sounds like is, there's something you could do for a kala and a mace but you could not do for someone else. Because for a kala and a mace, it's a mitzvah, but for someone else, not. So what does that mean? So I'll say, for example, for a kala, I can go to the edge of the tchum. In order that on Matzei Shabbos, I could cut down myrtle branches. We'll say myrtle branches were often used at wedding celebrations. So therefore, again, I could go to the edge of the tchum to cut down myrtle branches for the sake of a chasana, but I could not go, let's say, to the edge of the tchum to cut down myrtle branches for myself. However, el mace mayni, we'll say for a mace, what would it be? So the havi lo arun v'tachrichin. So we'll say for a mace, it means I can go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos in order to be ready to bring back a casket and shrouds. Because that's a mitzvah. Vikatani mace in about acherlo. I was saying it's only for a mace. But let's say again, I could not go to the edge of the tchum to bring back something else for someone else on Matzei Shabbos. Vamai, leimashim yesha mechitzos mi base mace. Sorry, maybe. So I'll say again, but why is that? If there was an eruv, I could even bring back something for someone else in a mutter permitted fashion as well. So rather, we'll say, what's the case of the mace? So mace time mishkachas la lemigza leglima. So we'll say the example would be, let's say again, to cut out a piece of material. Let's say there are no tachrichin. So we'll say, I can go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos in order to be ready to make tachrichin, to make shrouds for the mace, to make the shrouds. But Lamai said there would be no such license for another person. I was about to say, if Ruvain needs a new shirt, I need a new shirt. I could not go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos to ready to make the shirt on Matzei Shabbos. Right? That would be usher, because there is no permitted way to make a shirt for me on Shabbos. But Lamai saw to go to the edge of the tchum so that I can be ready to make tachrichin for the mace on Matzei Shabbos, that ultimately, again, would be permitted. Rabbi Sinot, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tashem with the attitude that's all machshichin. Shkach, I will say. Avin, how are you? So this is the gym clothes. Okay. It's hard to keep up with all these wardrobe options. Mamish.